Okay, everybody, so today's daf is Daf Lamed Tes. We're holding roughly 10 lines from the top of the Omid, where the Gemara begins, Neima Kitanoi. Let's refresh our memories. Yesterday we had a major machloikis. What's the bracha that you make on shlokos? Shlokos means cooked vegetables. Do you make a bracha of shahakoil? Or do you make a bracha of boire pri hodam? It says Gemara Neima Kitanoi. Let us say that that machloikis, in fact, is not only a machloikis amoiroim, but a machloikis tanoim. What was the story? Dano. Gemara is going to tell us a story which, unfortunately, does not have such a good ending. Gemara tells the story that what happened was that there were two talmidim, the Aviyasi Kami, the Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara had two talmidim. Hevil Afanat, and they brought in front of him the following three food items. Kruv, which is cabbage, durmaskin, which is somewhat up in the air. Rashi says it's shlokos, me'esev shekoyrin akadoshet. Here it's on the fourth line from the top of the omid. The article gives it a very unusual name, something like orach, O-R-A-C-H-E. I'm not exactly which area. Sorry?
Orakar?
Orakar, that's the way you pronounce it, and the gizintite. I have no idea. I don't know what it is, and I don't know how you pronounce it. But whatever it happens to be, it's also some sort of greens, vegetable family. And the third thing is pragios. Pragios, they even use in Eretz Yisrael today also. It actually says psar oif, shekoyrim, etc. It's meat, but it's from fowl. Right. In Eretz Yisrael, when you go and buy in the restaurant, for instance, you say pragios. Pragios means...
Pargios.
Pragios. Is chicken, and it's usually the dark side of the chicken, not the white. In other words, it's the
dark meat.
The dark meat, exactly. Okay, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. The nafkimina legabi us is that pragiot or pargiot, for sure you make a shahakel, because that's meat, it's oif, there's nothing to talk about. The child is, what about the krumen damaskin? Krumen damaskin are two types of vegetables that were cooked. Shlokos. So what bracha do you make? Sezigma, nosim bar kapara rishus li'echam nehem levarach. He had two talmidim in front of Bar Kapara, and Bar Kapara authorized one of the two to make a bracha. Now, you would think that he would go and ask Bar Kapara which bracha should he make first. Instead, kofatzu beirach al hapragiot. He jumped up and he made a bracha on the pragiot, meaning he made a shahako on the... We're not done yet. Anyway, so he made a bracha on the meat and he went and he made a shahako. Ligleg olav chaveri, his friend mocked him. Caused Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara got angry, and we'll see at the moment, in a moment we'll see at whom he was angry. Says Imar, Oma, said Bar Kapara, said, Loyal mevorach ani kreis. Don't think that I'm getting angry at the person who made the bracha. Ela al hamalagleg ani kreis. I'm angry at the person who is the mocker. Why? Because im chaverich odoy mikimishulay toam tam basar mi oilam, just because your chaver, who by not asking any questions, just jumped on the pragiot. Looks like from that he hasn't eaten meat for his entire life, in other words, a long, long, long time, and therefore he didn't bother asking which goes first, which goes second, with a bracha, he just went and said his shahako and he ate from the psaroif. After you, al malig lanta olav. Why did you go and be malagreg? Why did you mock him? And then shortly thereafter, Chovit Chozer the Omar, then Bar Kapara said, you know what? Loi ala malagreg ani koyis. I'm not really angry at the person who's the malagreg, the makker, el ala mavarach ani koyis. I'm really upset at the person who made the brocha. The Omar, and he said, im chochma enkan, even though I may not be a chochma, said Bar Kapara about himself, abazikna enkan, don't, am I not at least a senior citizen? I'm really an older person, and therefore, just based on experience, shouldn't you have asked me first what bracha should you make first among these three food items? Says the Gemara that unfortunately because Bar Kapara had a kateda on both of them, Tano Ushneim lo yitzi ushnasan, unfortunately both of them passed away prematurely, both tummied. Anyway, so I told you the story does not have a happy ending. But the question is, why did we bring the story? My la balkan iflegi, l'choyr the machloik is between the two talmidim. The Talmud who ate and the Talmud who was malagleg, the makker, what's their machlekes? The mevorach sova shlokos upragios shehakol mi'vidvarei. The person who made the bracha, he felt that on shlokos you make a shehakel just like you make a shehakel on targiot. And so therefore both of them are shehakel. If they're both of them shehakel, hilkach choviv odit. Go and take the one that you like best, because that's to you a greater chashivit. You prefer having a particular type of food. Many people like to have the chicken rather than having the cooked vegetables. That's what's more choviv, and that's why he made a bracha on gavur choviv first. So that was his svar. Umalavlik tzavar, shlokis is boyer prihadama. On cooked foods, you're supposed to, on cooked vegetables, you're supposed to make a boyer prihadama. Hargiyot is shahakal nebidvarai. And hilkach, peira odif. I'd rather go and make on peira. Now the word over here, peira, doesn't mean like peira. What it means is that we know that there is a bracha which is very, very generic and very broad and encompassing, and that's the shahakal. And then we know that there are particularized brachas which are on just certain items, like Beir Pri Eitz and Beir Pri Adam. So which one is considered to be more choshev? The one that's more particularized, because that one is on a special food and it's not just a general bracha. If you look at the Rashi in the middle of the Amid, Umalagleg Sovar, parallel to Agmar, Umalagleg Sovar, Shlokis Beir Pri Adam. She bracha chashuva li atzma the dvarim chashuvim. It's not your shehakel bracha, which is so generic that it covers almost all food items. Certainly it covers everything but the eved, but even the chachila, it covers so much. Masha enke the bayir priyadam, which is particularized. Because it's particularized, that gives it a greater chashivus, and therefore it should have been makdim with that bracha. So bottom line is, our Gemara is saying, the machoikis that we had yesterday as to whether cooked vegetables shlokai. Do you make a bayir priyadam or do you make a shahakar? That is the dispute between these two talmidim. That the one that ate the pargiot first and he made a shahakal is because he felt that the shlokis is all to shahakal. To have a choice between two shahakals, I'd rather take the one that is chovit. Because the one that's chovit by me is a chashivus, I like that, and that's why I'm going to bake a bracha on the pargiot. And the Talmud who was malaglik said, you don't know what you're talking about. On shlokis, you don't make a shahakal, you make a bayir priyadama. So even though you like the pargiot more, you should still make the bayir priyadama first because of the chashivus of the bracha. Lutzimullah, you have no right. It could be the kuliyam shlokis and pargiot shahakal the edvar. It could be that everybody agrees, both the eater and the maker, that on shlokis you make a shahakal. So everybody says, what's the machlokis? Bracha b'hayisvar kabitzegi. The machlokis has to do with what bracha should you make first in terms of chashivas. Marsa v'chavavadiv, the first Talmud felt, whatever I like best, that's what I'm going to make the bracha on, because that's choshev to me, chaviv to me. I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I make a bracha on that. Marsa v'kruv adiv, no, the cabbage is more important. Dizayin. Dizayin means that it's very nourishing and it's very healthy. How do I know it's nutritious? How do I know that kruv is in fact so nutritious? If you look at the Rashi 4 or 5 lines higher up, Kruv Odif Design, the sign that come on, we're going to have a Mir Tashem and another 5 lots and that men, Dalit, that Kruv is Lemozing. Mozing means to go and give nourishment. It's nutritious. Metardin, Tardin is beets. That's the food. That's very good for the food. Of course, to show the person needs some medication. Anyway, so bottom line is, could be that everybody agrees that Shlokis is Shahakal, no Machlokis. Why was there a machlokes between the eater and the maker? Had to do with what's more chashiv. Is chaviv is more chashiv, or the fact that this is zayin, that it's nutritious, that's more chashiv. Sorry?
Both were wrong.
The maker said he should have eaten the kruv first.
That's why they both ascended to the
because everybody should have asked about kapara.
The Gemara is asking for the healthier food because Basar is also Zionist itself.
Apparently,
about it. From this we can derive, he mentioned from Rashi at least, that he gives weight to the fact that it's healthy, that the healthier food takes precedence.
Certainly the Makar who felt that you should have made bracha on the kruv first, he holds it as healthier, and therefore health goes before chavivus. Don't look at what you like better, but you should go and take what is healthier.
Why healthier?
Muslim means that it gives nutrition to the body.
Doesn't mean that it's healthier. Doesn't mean that it gives calories.
calories. There's calories in
Let me.
The reason why there's a machlokes as to what you should eat first. The one that ate the pargia first says chobos to him. He likes the chicken rather than having the cooked vegetable. Lahavdil, I also like chicken more than cooked vegetable. Good. Omar said the other man, the Yomar said, no, kruv is out of design. Zayin means that it's nutritious. How do I know it's nutritious? Because the Yomar said, the kruv of the Mosin. If you want to go and find something which is nutritious, eat kruv. Cabbage is very nutritious for you. So therefore, he felt you should take the nutrition, what's healthier, rather than taking the pragios, which is tastier. Om Reb Zeir, ki avinam be Reb Huna, said Reb Zeir, when I was by Reb Huna, Om Reb Huna, he told us the following. Hani gargulidi the lifter, parminu prima gaba, boira priha dama, prima zuta shehakal libidvari. In Reb Zeir's, in Reb Huna's house, he told us that if you're cutting up, lifter is lefes, lefes is turnips. Gargulidi means the head of the turnip. Those are the turnips that you get in the store. It depends now how you ate it. Praminu prima rabba. If you cut it into large sections, large pieces, then you make a barfi rabba. If it's prima zuta, if you cut it into small little pieces, you dice it and make it a little kleine shtikalach, then you make a shahakal niyabdivar. You don't make a barfi dummy, you make a shahakal. This is not unknown to us. Like, for instance, when you go and eat potato kugel, they say that if you can go and tell that it's made out of potatoes, you still see some potatoes in it, you make a barfi dummy. If it's so fine and refined that you can't even tell, many people make a shahakal.
Well, Israeli salad is very finely cut.
Yeah.
Would that be an example of this?
I would think that this is smaller, because if you go and eat with the Israeli salad,
the pieces,
in the Israeli salad where they cut, you can still see the cucumbers and the pieces. Here you're talking about presumably that it's very, very small. And anyway, shahakal is very young, make a shahakal. However, that's what Reb Zeir said when he visited the house of Safuna. No, even on the very finely cut lettuce, you also make a bayir priyadama. I buy their pinot today. So why did he cut it up into such small little pieces? Because then it's sweeter. After turnip, as you know, is not a sweet type of vegetable. However, if you make very, very small pieces, then it adds, presumably it adds, it makes sweeter the salad or whatever. That's why they cut it up very finely, but it's not a shahakal, it remains a bayir priyadam. So returning to your question, Israeli salad, presumably it was similarly cut, you make a bayir priyadam. Om Ravashi, ki avinan bay Rav Kahana, Om Allah, tafshila nesilka dole machshu bakimcha bayir priyadam. So we're starting off with a tafshila. Tafshila means a maho, which means either if it's in a solid form, it's like a porridge, like a kugel, and if it happens to be in a liquid form, it means like a stew. If it's the silka is beets. If it's a beet type of porridge, a beet type of stew, to a mafshu bakimcha, that they don't put in a lot of kemach, they don't add a lot of flour, you make a very pre-dama, because the essential part is the silka is a beet. The lift, however, if you have the same type of tafshu, which is made out of turnip, like a turnip soup, then what is it? The mafshu bakimcha tvei. Then you put in much more kemach, much more flour in touch, such as stew, and you make a boyer mina in the zaitis. Now, the simple reason is, in the case of the silka, you put in very little kemach, boyer priyadama. And the lefis, in the turnip, you put in much more kemach, you make a boyer mina in the zaitis. Now, this is not the same as what we had a few days ago, because remember, Rav and Shmuel, the Amrit Zavayu, that if you even have just boy a little bit of the chomesh minim, you have to make a mezainis. However, the reason why over here the Gemara is telling us that you would make a shahakal is because of the fact that, you'd make a hadama instead of making a mezainis, because there's a difference between when you put in flour to go and add taste and to add texture and to make it more gishmak, or the reason why you're doing it is what we call a binder. A binder is just to keep the ingredients together. Because if you didn't go and put that kemach in, the whole thing was one tishit. It would all go and be scattered and would fall apart. So that's a very important halacha. Therefore, Yigmar says, V'hodr Omar. Subsequently, he said that either, both in the case of the tafshul of beet and the case of the tafshul made out of lefis of turnips, no matter how much kemach you put in, you make a bayir priyadama. What's the reason why they pour in so much kemach? It's only as a binder to go and keep the various ingredients together so they shouldn't all fall apart. Nobody's really interested in the kemach in terms of adding taste or flavor or texture to it. I don't really care for the kemach. I just want to make sure that when I'm cooking it and baking it, whatever, it shouldn't fall into 1,000 pieces.
The ramamet.
Okay, fine. Omer of Chizda. Tavshil shol tardin yofel aleif v'toyv leinayim v'koshke and the b'nei me'ayim. Tardin means beets. So if you have a tavshil, for instance, a soup made out of beets, presumably also borscht, which people make out of beets, yofel aleif is very good for the heart. Toyv leinayim is good for the eyes. V'koshke and the me'ayim is certainly good for the intestines. Omer of Ayim. Lud yosef abei tafi v'ovit tuch. That's only if you cooked it for a long period of time. Abei tafi means on top of the grates, on top of the stove. Of a tuch-tuch, and it is cooked so long that you hear a sound coming out from it. The boiling sound sounds like tuch-tuch. For those of you that are not familiar with this sound, try it out at home. Experiment. Go and cook tonight some tardin in some water. Let it cook for a long time, and then listen carefully to the noises to come out. Tuch-tuch. See, if you look at Rashi, of a tuch-tuch, Rashi is about, go up 15 lines higher than our Gemara. Bava Tzoych Tzoych, that's Rashi Kaloymar, Shesholuk, you're cooking it, the Nimcham Oid, and it gets very, very, very soft, good. The Kol Resich Hoslay, and the noise that you hear of the Resich, of the boiling, the bubbling, Nishmas, it sounds like Kol Tzoych Tzoych. That's the type of noise that it makes when it is boiling on top of the stove. Okay. Continuing on the inyan of cooked vegetables, what bracha do you make? Omer apapa pshitli, by means of double pashit, mai de silka, if you're talking about soup of selek, selek again is beets, if you have a beet soup, kisilka, make a bracha, by piyadoma, as if you were eating the beet itself. Omai de lifta, and if you have a turnip soup, kilifta, make a bracha just like the turnip itself. The mai de kulishalki. And in fact, this is not just limited to beets and to turnips, but in fact, in connection with all cooked vegetables, that if you have a vegetable soup, you make a bocha for your priyadam as if you were eating the vegetables themselves. Yes, Rabbi Newman.
What's the difference tardin and soka if they're both beets?
One is in Targum Lush and one is in Hebrew. If you look at Rashi on Mayid the Silka, Rashi says tavshil shol tardin. So you see that Rashi equates silka and tardin. Why the Gemara changes lashonis from tavshil shol tardin to mayid silka, I don't know. But they both are synonyms. They both mean the same thing. They both mean beet, and that type of food just cannot be beet.
In colloquial modern day Hebrew, tarid is sin.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's now, true.
Before we learned that soup is shahakol.
Super shahakal.
That's what we learned before. Now the Gemara says it's adam.
What you are pointing out is a very important point. I don't think you're referring to soup. I think you're referring to juice. If you have orange juice and apple juice and all the rest, there the Gemara calls it zeyb alma, and you make a shahakal. Over here, when you're talking about the cooked vegetables, and you're not talking about the vegetables, you're talking about the soup of the cooked vegetables, and you make adam. So many Rishonim ask the kasha, ma nishtana, why is this different than the other? And the key that they say is that in connection with vegetables, it is the minhag, if you will, to enable you to go and eat vegetables. Many vegetables really cannot be eaten in their raw form, or at least they're not tasty in the raw form. If you want to go and eat, for instance, if you want to go and eat cabbage, or if you want to eat pumpkin, if you want to go and eat turnips, and all those things, many of them are difficult. Exactly, or it's difficult to eat raw, and most people would not eat raw. So the kavana in planting them was, the farmer who plants it says, I intend this to be eaten by our family and by the masses, whoever buys this. It's going to be eaten in a cooked stage. Like, if a person goes and grows apples, it's not intended to make apple juice. 95% of the people buy apples and they eat the apples. There's only a small percentage which are used to go and make apple juice. Exactly. If you see the pieces of vegetable in the vegetable soup, for sure you should make adam. However, if it happens to be strained, so that all you see is just the water, that is the liquid, and you don't see any vegetables anymore, that becomes more problematic. If you see the vegetables, then you make adam. If you don't see the vegetables, then the best thing to do in such a situation would be to go and take a separate piece of vegetable, make a adama, take a drink of water, make a shakal, and you've covered all the entire waterfront.
Exactly. If I had an orange orchard, yeah, I juice oranges,
Very good. So we spoke about that a couple of days ago. Al pisvara, since juice oranges are planted for juice, al pisvara, one should make a bar piyait. But that's not the mini goylem. Presumably, it's a slight look, because otherwise, you'd have one container of orange juices from juice oranges, from different oranges. You don't know. So, but somebody told me yesterday or 2 days ago that if Aaron Salavation, you told me that in the brother Shai, Bechoyim Vatsma, told me that Aaron Salavation in fact used to make a better prayer eight on juice orange juice. But that's not the mini goylem. I'm sorry? Only the juice oranges. But how can you go and tell on oranges with the juice oranges? It probably comes from juice oranges because they probably wouldn't ruin eating oranges. Well, they're right. Look at this.
Sometimes you have a soup. Sometimes you have a
chicken soup.
Chicken
soup. It has
vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really eating because I want chicken
soup.
So what's the book
of that? Very good question. All questions on local mice you should ask a competent Orthodox rabbi. I'm asking what I would do. What I would do is I would go and make sure to go and take a piece of tomato or cucumber. I'd make adama. I would take a glass of juice or water, and I'd make a shakal.
What's the chicken? You have chicken soup they put in crack.
Yeah.
I don't want it, but it's not like it's
so you would prefer having just a shakal?
They put in mukshin, they put in chicken, they put in
bread. And mukshin too, so now we have a problem that you're going to make adama. So anyway, all of these are excellent questions. You should go and ask a poisik. You should get a clear-cut answer. You shouldn't get any gefumper to answer for me. I only get paid to go and go through the lashon of the Gemara. So based on our Gemara, we're not talking about that there are any noodles inside. Based on our Gemara, if you have the vegetable soup, you can see the vegetables, make a bird vidal. That's clear. Now if you tell me there's also piece of chicken, there's also lashon, there's also knedlach and stuff like that, that already gets more difficult, and that you should ask a rabbi. Anyway, the beet soup,
beet soup.
The portion is talking about that there were beets inside it, or at least little pieces. It's nicker. If it's not nicker, then it becomes much more problematic. Boy, Rabbi, Maya de Shivza. Shivza in modern English is dill, D-I-L-L. If any of you have ever seen dill, it's inside. If you haven't, dill is a type of food that is not eaten for food purposes,
garnish.
But only as a garnish, but specifically you put it typically in a soup to go and either sweeten the soup, add a little taste, or to go and take away some bad taste in the soup. But people typically do not eat dill on their own. Most women, after they go and cook up the soup and they have the dill, they just toss it.
It's a spice.
It's a spice, exactly. It's a vegetable which is used as a spice. So boy, rakopa. Maya de shibsa. What happens now if you have dill water or if you have dill soup? May, what bracha would you make on this? Do you say that the dill is amtuki tam avdi, that it's in fact intended to go and give tam, and so therefore it's like any other vegetable if you're cooking vegetables, and vegetable soup make a bar bidon? Oy la vuri zayama avdila. Or is it only made to go and take out the negative? It's not there to go and give positive, but it's just to take away the negative. It's just to take away the negative. Zayama means the shmutz, presumably a bad odor or bad whatever, but it's not really a good positive type of spice. It's just a spice to, in a sense, like a deodorant. It's going to make things a little bit more pleasant, but it's really not a positive thing. Then in such a situation, if one holds, it wouldn't have a din of a vegetable, it would have a din of just a shahako. So what's the din? Toshima. Hasheves. Sheves is the same as shivsa. Why? Rabbi Newman, here's the shivsa, here's the sheves. Again, this is the Aramaic form, and this is the Hebrew form. What's the din about sheves, about the dill? Misha nosna tam dikdeira. Once it gives tam inside the dikdeira, inside the stew, inside the soup. Ein ba mishum tuma ve'einim etama tumas oichu. In other words, if you have dill, which itself was truma, in other words, it grew in Eretz Yisrael. Dill, of course, doesn't have a din of truma midiraisa, but neither do apples or oranges, because it's only dogon tirosh v'yitzar. But any other fruit or vegetable which grow in Eretz Yisrael have a din of truma midraban. Now, this sheves, when it was still whole, before it was used, has a din of truma, and therefore, if a zor were to eat it, you'd have to go and pay keren v'chaymish. And similarly, if, since it's an ochel, if you had a nevela, or if you had a dead sheretz touching it, it would be metama other oichlin. That's only prior to using that dill. What happens if you took the dill and you put it already into a soup, and already cooked for an hour or a day or whatever? Mishnosin tam b'gdeira, once all the tam is left, the sheretz is worthless. Rashi calls it like a piece of eitz, like a piece of of wood. What are you going to do with it? You're not going to eat it. You're just going to toss it. No longer chashivus. If it has no chashivus, it's no longer a din of truma. If you were to go and eat it, you don't have to go and pay your chaymish. And it wouldn't be a din of truma because it's not an oich. Okay, what does it have to do with us? All we want to be medayik is that it says hashemus mishenoch natam big data. The Gemara learns from that. Shema mina lem tukitama avdila shema mina. The dill in fact is not a negative thing that takes away bad odors or bad germs or whatever, but dill in fact is something which is good. It gives a noisen tam inside the tater. Since it's nisina tam, therefore you would have to make a bayer priyadam. Bayer priyadam.
Now, what about paprika in powder that you put in the food?
No. But nobody eats paprika on its own. Nobody eats paprika soup. Here we're talking about the dill was in a soup, and you have a dill soup. What bracha do you make on it? In your case, in paprika, it's just powder, and nobody makes paprika soup.
But dill is the same thing.
Yeah, but dill is a piece of
flour. The dill you only use as paprika to flavor the food.
And that's more shayla, but at least you have it has a metzias. It's tangible. This is just power. The word tenuma is even used today in Eretz Yisrael to mean toast. If you want to go and buy toast in a bag, you go and buy tenuma.
What do you mean?
Tenimim?
I think so.
Tenimim. So maybe it's smaller pieces, bigger pieces. Okay, so that is right. Anyway, so the person bought it. He didn't buy it. He made the toast. And now he puts the toast in a kara. Kara means he could put it in the soup. Put in a stew, in a bishul, whatever. And what happened now? What bracha do you make? He didn't just put it in a bowl. In other words, if you take a piece of toast and you put it in a bowl, it still retains its bracha. Here we're talking about that he put it into something which was either a stew or a hot soup. It could be even a case, like people were talking about a few days ago, like a crouton. But here we're talking about a gitzaki. Anyway, so he put it into, as croutons, into a soup. What bracha do you make? You have to make a bracha. Moitzi lech menaretz. Pligi v'rabchia, the Yom Rabchia. Tzorech shetichle bracha im ha-pas. What does that mean? Tzorech shetichle bracha im ha-pas. So Rashi explains that when a person is making a bracha ha-moitzi on a piece of bread, and particularly if he's cutting the bread, you know, today most people get pre-cut bread. Years ago, he used to go and cut up bread. Can you imagine?
Sliced bread.
Can you imagine? Okay. Anyway, so on Shabbos, of course, we have the Indian of going and cutting the challah. The question is, are they pre-cut or are they pre-sliced? Okay. Anyway, in America, the people are lazy. They don't want to have to go and cut it themselves. It's pre-sliced. Exactly. But you know, for Hanukkah, you don't have to make wicks anymore. You can go and get it all and bring it, just put it in. And there's one store in Blue Park where you can hire somebody to come over and he'll light it for you too. You don't even have to bother lighting it. Well, you have to have the whole tear of lighting it there, right to left to right. You don't know, put it in, take it out. It's messy. The Empress will come and he'll light it for you. He can charge you a couple dollars. Anyway, getting back to Agamar. So here in Agamar, it says you have the pastanuma inside the kara. You make hamoitzi. Rav Chiya says, Tzorech shetichle brochim hapas. Rashi explains that means when you're cutting or slicing the piece of bread from this larger loaf, what you should do is have the brocha and the slicing end both at the same time. Which means, presumably, you make a brocha until Melech Olam, and then when you get to your Melech Olam, you quickly slice the piece of kala or the piece of bread, so that what happens is that by the time you finish Lech min ha'aretz, you've cut the slice and you can go and put it into your mouth almost immediately. Okay, we're going to talk about the Shabbos in a moment on the Yom Beis. But the point is that according to Rav Chiya, you're supposed to start with a dover sholein and then cut it mitzvah bracha, so by the time you finish the bracha, it's sliced, it's cut, and you can eat it immediately. However, the case over here by the pas tenuma, since you put it into this soup, what happens is, says Rashi, it's poros v'oimidhu. It comes out that this is already cut into pieces, or it's falling apart by the fact that you put it into this soup. Let's see quickly the Rashi. Seven lines before the end, pas tenuma, yevesha. It means it's dried out, meaning that it was toasted. Shenosna bekara lishreis. You put it inside a kara. Lishreis means to get soaked up. The reason why you're soaking it up, presumably, this is such a hard piece of toast that it's hard to go and chew, so that's why he put in takara to go and be sure it means to soak in some liquid. V'chein, tznumo yistakos, same thing would apply if you have small little pieces, like croutons that you put inside the soup. So, shetichla, birchas ha-moitzi, and priests have prusim in a pas. The birchas ha-moitzi should end at the same time that you are poles, that you're cutting the prusa from the larger loaf. V'hai, this case of the tznuma, paris v'oymenu, it's already cut up from before, so it's not the same. So, you cannot have the bracha ending at the same time that you're cutting the prusa, because it's already cut up. Either because you made tznuma yistakos small pieces, or even if you didn't, just by the fact that you put it into the liquid, it disintegrates to a certain degree, and therefore it's already part of the volume. Or for that matter, the fact that you're putting this piece of toast there, it's obviously a slice that was sliced from the challah, from the bread, earlier on. So, the two l'chayah don't work together. The b'chiyah barashi says, make ha-moitzi, according to b'chiyah, tar shetichla. So what bracha would you make according to b'chiyah? The bracha that you would make on these tenumais is like we had a couple of days ago in the Gemara. You'd make a boire mina mezainai. Then we had the brisa that if bread, the bread was still intact, you'd still make, you'd make a moiti, but if it's falling apart, you'd make a mezainai. So the chayyah, you have that machloikas over here. So if you want that, Rebchiyah Barashi and Rebchiyah would appear to have a machloikas. Right, you want to mask the rova. What's the reason why? By tenuma, you're saying, don't make hamoitzi mishum dechikalya bracha aprusa kokalya, because you're saying that there's a kteda. You want to make sure that when you're going and cutting up your challah or your bread, you're making a bracha and the pieces coming off at the same time. And here the tznuma was already cut from before. Alapas nami kiko gomra aprusa gomra. By the time you finish your moitzi lechem in haaretz, then the last word, Menaharis, is also on a prusa. It's already cut up. So, Ibazoi, how do you make a moitzi over there? Just like you're complaining that you can't make a moitzi if it's already cut up. Here you also, every time you're cutting your bread, you're cutting something. And by the time you finish your bracha, you're making a bracha on something which is cut up, which is already sliced. And if Ela Marava, Mevorach Miyachkach Moitzea, Rava says, don't go and start cutting whilst you're making the bracha. First make your bracha. And then you go and cut the piece so that your bracha has been on a davar hasholem, and then only subsequently are you going to cut it into pieces. And that's why, well, first let's see what the Gemara says. Those nedoi abdik rebchiyah, in nedoi they did like rebchiyah. What did rebchiyah say? End your bracha and cut the slice at the same time, so that by the time you finish your bracha, you've sliced your slice. Rabban Abdi Karov and Rabban Abdi Karov, the first day made the bracha on the shalem, and only after they finished the moitzi lechem in haaretz did they start cutting the bread. Omer Ravina, Omer Li Ein, Ravina says that my mother told me that Avuch Ovid Karabchia. Apparently Ravina's father had passed away, and so therefore Ravina's mother told him, your father, when he was alive, he passed in, he did like Rabchia, that what the Omer Rabchia took Shetich LeBracha Imapas, that they would go and cut them and make the bracha and cut this the pas at the same time, so it ended at the same time. Rabban Abdi Karava, what would Rabban do like Rava? And that is make the bracha first, biyakach b'tseh. First go and make your bracha, then after that go and cut up the bread or the challah. Now they're wondering, what do you do on Shabbos when we, because during the week if it's all sliced, you don't have a bracha. So look at the top side. It's the Karava and Mubarak. What's the Gemara doesn't address weekday or Shabbos. Gemara just address. You're 100% right. What you're saying is right.
Before we go to
the I want to get clarity too. And the clarity that we are seeking is during the week it's not a daily issue. Many of us don't eat bread anyway throughout the week. But even if you do, it's pre-sliced. So you don't have this issue because it's already sliced. When do you have to go and slice something? On Shabbos when you have the challah. So you have now a machloikis in our Gemara between the Nedoyans and between the Rabbanim. Where the Nedoyans did like Rav Chiya, that they started cutting in the middle of the bracha, while Rava said make the full bracha first and then cut second. And the Gemara concluded, that you're supposed to make the full bracha first, and then after that you cut. Okay, so it sounds like that that's what we should do on Shabbat. Well, okay, that's why I wanted to introduce you to the Tosis to show you it's not so simple. Reb Simcha also like to make a point. Let's just look quickly at this. I understand. Just bear with me one moment. The Hilchos HaKarov, the top Tosis, the Hilchos HaKarov, the Mavar of Yachak Betzeh, Pirush, Shlo Yafish HaPrusa Min HaPas Ad Akar HaBrocha. Don't go and separate the slice until the bracha is over, till it's completed. sounds like from the beginning of the Tosis that you are supposed to start slicing even mid-bracha, but don't remove it until after the bracha is over. To go make the entire bracha from beginning to end before slicing. That's not the right way of doing it. It's going to be a heftig. In other words, you make the entire bracha, and now you start cutting. Oh, you got a problem over here. You're making a heftig between the bracha and the achila. And therefore, Tosis is saying is, it's better to start cutting mid-bracha, even according to Rava, but don't finish the slicing by the time you finish the bracha. Finish the slicing post the bracha.
It's just an element of separation rather than slicing open up.
That's why we're introducing, so you see that we don't have total clarity. It's an inyan that you have lecha mishnah and that it should be complete complete chalas. So therefore, there you should in fact excuse me, go make the bracha before you begin cutting, so that you have a situation of lecha mishnah complete to big chalas, and you don't have a situation where you've cut it before you finish the bracha. L'maisa, what do most people do? They make at least a small notch in the chalas. They give a slight cut, so that symbolically they've already started cutting the chalas, so that when they cut it subsequently, you don't have to look up for that notch. But at least symbolically, he's already started on it. However, you want to leave them complete because of the inyan of Lecha Mishnah, and when you finish the whole Lecha Mishnah, before you finish the whole bracha, then you cut through it, and then you go and slice it. So therefore, although it's still a heftig, but at least you have the benefit of Lecha Mishnah, and it's Mishnah gone for the heftig because you've already started cutting it already a moment before. Now, Reb Simcha has a shayla, and the doctor has a shayla, and the rabbi has a shayla. Simcha is holding his hands up much, much longer than anybody else. So yes, Reb Simcha, what's your question?
I think past Zuma,
So the point that you're raising is excellent. That you said that we learned before that it has to be nicker, that's the bottom choices. If you look at the choices down at the bottom, the final choices, he asks go to the second line. He says in the middle of the choices, see the last choices on the bottom. Look in the middle line, the elek elitznuma. If we're only talking about that, he has these pieces of toast, small pieces of toast. Heki paligalor pchia. Hamas imel. Didn't we say before? Pirun apo pisha ain ben kazayis. Even if they're very small, they'll never kazayis. Mavorcham leh namoyti hoyu veispahu treirisit in a hama. As long as it has an appearance still of bread, you still make a moyti. Does the pchia argue with what we learned before? That's your question. Of course, that toast has a different pshat than the Gemara. If you'd like us to address that briefly, we can. Talking about a situation of Tosis that you didn't only have the tsnuma, you had both a regular big challah or a big loaf of bread, at the same time you also had these small pieces of toast. The question is, which one should you make a bracha on first?
But what's the tsnuma? What's here? Assuming you only have this situation, what do you want to break much enough? In other words, what Tosis is saying is not a bread.
Tosis says that Ruchiyah probably does not argue in the previous Gemara. He probably holds that you would make Amoytzi. Why in our Gemara does Ruchiyah argue? That's why Tosis is talking about different Ukimta. Yes, Doctor, he's got some.
I just want to clarify the machlokes between Ruchiyah and Rabbanan.
Right.
One would say that if you slice it and separate it and slice it, make the bracha while you slice. Make the slice while you make the bracha, and then you take the challah and eat it. No separation.
We have over here a tension built into the Gemara. What is the tension that's built in? On the one hand, we want to make a bracha on a dabar choshev, and something which is sholein has a lot of cheshivas. Something which is ready in pieces has less cheshivas. So, I prefer going and making the full bracha before cutting, so that I have a dabar sholein, especially on Shabbat. Especially, that's lecha mishnah. Good. But on the other hand, I have a svara to go and start cutting as much as possible before, so as soon as I finish making the bracha, I can put it into my mouth without having a heftig. So what do you do? So you have to make a shtikul pshor over here. So everybody agrees that except for Shabbos, everybody agrees that during the hamoitzi, you should already start slicing. The question is, when should you finish the slice? According to Rabbi Chiya, you're going to finish the slice at the same time you finish a moitzi lechem in ha'aretz, and so therefore, right after you finish the bracha, I can put it into my mouth immediately. While according to Rava, no, you should not have the slice finished at the same time as you finish the bracha, but you should finish the bracha a second or two before you finish slicing, and so therefore, it'll be separated from the larger challah after you finish the moitzi lechem in ha'aretz.
According to Rava, let's see our Gemara. If I eat a Caesar salad and I have pieces of toasted bread on it,
yes,
do I make a moitzi or not?
Absolutely. You do have to make a moitzi. If it has three reasons in Hama, yes. If it has Teresa Dinam, if you or your wife or somebody else or the restaurant took a nice toasted piece of bread, they add a little garlic to it, they cut it into small little pieces, if it's nicker that this is a piece of bread, according to our Gemara, you would have to make a moitzi. And it does not become bottled to the top.
Mishnah Berurah,
I don't know. This is what our Gemara says. Again, halacha l'mayis is speak to a competent Orthodox rabbi. Yes, Mendy. Rabbi Newman, I know we haven't forgotten you, Rabbi Newman. You're Achron Achron Chavav. Yes, Mendy.
He has an orange. Better to make a brach on the orange and still hold before you're taking it apart.
Yes. However, not with the peel on it.
Right.
But even the orange, presumably what you should do is pull it apart. In fact, my son Ben Sion told me that either he witnessed or somebody else witnessed the Alexander Rebbe, when he eats a piece of fruit, like an apple, he cuts the apple, takes out the slice ready to eat, he puts the slice back into the apple, makes a bracha of Beir Pi Eitz on the whole apple, now Shalem, and then he takes out that piece and he puts it into his mouth. So therefore he has the benefit of doing the Dabba Shalem, and at the same time, he also, he's ready to go and eat immediately. But Rabbi Newman had a question. Yes, Rabbi Newman.
Hefsek
means like a hefsek in between.
So, but could also be colored, or is it the same thing as just a hefsek in terms of how much time it takes to between the bracha and actually?
Yeah, I think that's the same thing. It's just using different terminology. Instead of talking about time, he talks about hefsek hadas, so it'll be hefsek.
So this is where the menad comes from and travels from the father.
You make a slice, a cut into the challah, but not a big slice. You just make a symbolic cut into it, and then you make a little incision, as you heard from the Simcha. You make a moitzi, and then you finish it off afterwards. Okay, so any more vayitzi? Itman. Hey, v'yulifnei yempesis and ushleimim. What happens if a person has in front of them both cut up challah, and he also has a sholem? Or, for instance, the same thing applies to bread. You have a whole bread, and you have small pieces, small slices. What do you make first? What bracha do you make? Make a bracha on the psisim first. Wow, you make a bracha on the psisim first? How could that be? The sholem is certainly much more choshev. So Rashi says that don't say mevarach al psisim. You have to make a bracha on the psisim, but Rafuna is very easygoing. So look at Rashi, the second line. Psisim shleim om Rafuna. Imratza mevarach al psisim. If you want to, you don't have to be makted dafka to koa, cut off the sholem. You can make a bracha on the psisim. Now that's the first pshat. The im psisim gedoyim min ashleim. Then tzarech mevarach al leyan. What happens if you have nice little bokalach, but the bokalach are rather small? And then you have a big piece of challah, or big piece of bread, and that piece of bread happens to be larger than this small little bokala. What should you do with the psisim agdoilim? Then you should make a bracha rather on the psisim, on the cut up challah, or the cut up bread, the slice of bread, even though this is a slice, and this is a gansadach, but it's more kosher because it's larger. That's what Rav Huna holds. Rav Yechon Amar, shleimah mitzvah mukhar, it's always better to make on the shleimah because that's a dover shalem. Okay, so now the Gemara goes off on a tangent a little bit. It says, what happens if the prusa, the cut-up one, is from chitim, from wheat? While the shleima, if you have a whole bukala, but it's made out of soyim from barley, everybody knows that chit is considered to be more choshev than barley, and therefore, the Yaakovah Baruch Hala prusa, shel chitim, pointed to shleima, shel soyim, rather make it on the prusa, even though that's a tov shalim, but this is chitim, which takes priority over soyim. This machlokes you just told me now about the prusa shalchitim and the shleimah shalchitim, that's the chayim machlokes tanaim. What's the machlokes tanaim? Tormin batel katan sholem avaloi chatzi batel gadol. When you have to go and give truma to the koyin, you should also give a dover choshev. You shouldn't, after all, it's a dvar mitzvah. So if you have a choice between giving a chatzi, you have a bab dachiyah. Okay, but for cotton shalim, you have, if any of you have ever bought or seen onions, as you know, they come in many different sizes.
Piece of the
challah? Yeah, so here we're talking no longer about the challah, here we're talking about the butter, which is the same idea, that's why the Gemara is saying kitanai. So you have a small onion, but it's got a whole onion. On the other hand, you also have a chatzi butter, got a much larger onion, and the half of the larger onion is bigger than the entire butter cotton. What do you do in such a case? So the Tanakhanda says, I'd rather give the butter cotton shalem, even though it's smaller, but it's choshed. It's a double shalem. Rabbi Yehuda Imalai, ki ela chatzi batzul gadol. Rather go and give the chatzi batzul gadol, because that is larger. What's the machlek? Is the Mar Sovar choshed odiv? The fact that you have a larger chatzi batzul gadol, that gives it chashivus. It's larger than that small onion. Mar Sovar shalem odiv. No. Since this is shalem, therefore even though it's smaller, but it's a chashivus because of the fact that it's shalem. And therefore the Gemara says the same thing would apply to the case of the chitim and the sa'oyim. That even though you have a prutish chitim, it's only a slice. And you have a shleima min ha-sa'oyim, that's the same machlokes. Do you look on the chashivas of the shleima? Here you have a shleima min ha-sa'oyim, here you have a botzel cotton, but shalem. Or do you go and say, no, this is chitim, and this happens to be a chatzi botzel gadol. And therefore that's the same machlokes. So to Gemara, nishkarai. It's not the same machlokes. Oh, says the Gemara, first of all, my lab hakim, my master of the Choshevad, my master of the Shalabad. Don't you want, hey, can the Iker Koyin Kolyam, we plead the Choshevad? If there's a Koyin around in town to whom you're going to go and give this Truma imminently, then everybody would be Choshevad if that don't give the Sholem, rather give the Chatzi Batzel Godoil, because that's Choshev, because it's larger than the Batzel Kotin Sholem. So where's the machlokes? Keep looking like a coin. There is no coin in town. I'm going to have to wait until the coin comes. It might take me a week. It might take a month until the coin comes.
And therefore?
And during that period of time, the food that you're setting aside could chulila rot or go bad. Which one is more likely to go bad first? The one that's cut up. Because the worms are going to get into the germs and the bacteria, and it's going to turn black and green and yellow, and nobody's going to want to eat it. However, if you have a batzel shalem, even though it's sake kleinshik, but that can hold for weeks. As you know, onions you can put aside for weeks and it doesn't necessarily go bad unless it's a bad weather or whatever.
I don't see the extrapolation because one of the mitzvahs is the volume. It's
right.
It's called chashim. It's not. I don't see the comparison.
No. That's the point. Initially, the Gemara was shelling to one case to the other and saying this is a nice parallel. That just like you have a prusa menachitin, even though it's only a prusa, but it's more chashiv, perhaps, than the sa'oidim, which is a dover shalim. And the Gemara said, that's the machloikis between the chatzi batzel gadol, which is a nice, large onion, even though it's half, but it's a nice piece, as opposed to this little batzel kadin shalim, this onion b'chul, it's a klein shigazach, so I'd rather have this big chatzi batzel gadol. Or do I say, no, shalim is more chashiv. So therefore, that's the same machloikis between the chitim and sa'oidim, this is a dover shalim, and this is larger. And now the Gemara said, no, nothing to do with that. No, forget about it. Hey, Chnik Koin, everybody would agree that the Choshevad is going to give the Chatzi Batzel Gadol because that's a Dover Choshev. A half of Batzel Gadol is much bigger than the claim she gave Batzel Cotton Shalom. Give that. Keep reading. Where's the Machoik? It's a Lekar. It's an Ishtuk Koin. Which one is going to hold out longer? The Nanakom. Mokashish Koin, Toyman Hayyofer. If there's a coin given from the nicer one, here the Gemara assumes that the Chatzi Batzel Gadol is nicer because it's bigger. And a miskayin means what will hold longer. Well, how long is the batzel cotton shalem? In all circumstances, even if there is no coin around, go and give him the yofet, meaning set aside the larger piece that chatzi batzel gadol. If ultimately the coin only comes in a year from now, 6 months from now, and it went bad, what can I do? But when I give my truma, I want to give from the shems and from the bechem. Anyway, so therefore it's not totally in the machlokes of the chitim and sa'orim, it's totally isi yodu, a coin, tzidishka coin, whether it's miskayim and ishmiskayim, so the two are unrelated machlokes. Amram, let's just finish this tickle. Amram nachma yifchak, v'rishamayim yoytzidei shnayim. If a person wants to be rishamayim, he can be yoytzid both. What are we talking about? We're going back to the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan. If you go back 6 lines from the top of the Yomid, Itmar Hediyu, Lefneim, Tzitzim, Shleimim, you have a full bukala and you have a piece of bread, and that slice of bread is larger than the bukala. What should you do? Rav Huna said, make a bracha on the, you can make a bracha on the tzitzim on the slice, and if it's larger, you should make the bracha on the slice. What if Yerkele says, no, always do a shlema? So what do I do? It says, Yirei Shemayim, he tries to make peace between them. Who is that Yirei Shemayim? Umanu mar b'reid ravina. The mar b'reid ravina, meniach prus, b'seich ha-shlema, u'b'yseh. What he would try to do is go and combine the two. Similar to what we were talking about the Alexander Rebbe with a piece of apple. Now, how are you going to put a prusa the toich hashleima? So Rashi says, not you put it toich, you put it tachas hashleima. You go and put the prusa, you take the shleima on top, you put the prusa underneath, you hold them together, and therefore you hold it as one. And then you cut. You don't have to cut both. You can if you want to. See, Rashi says, meniach prusa tachas hashleima. His gears are not the toich, but tachas hashleima. Minim zushtein biyadav, he's holding on to both of them with both hands. Ubaytseh, oy mishtein. So with this, he has been Mekayim both, because at least to all appearances, he's trying to be Mekayim both Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, that he's taking both in his hand at the same time, even though one is the slice and one happens to be the gamsa. And then the Gemara tells us a very nice little story over here. Zot Gemara, Tani Tanaka made them Nachma Yitzchak, Meniach Hafutz Vatech Hashleima, Ubeitzei Umavarech. This is one of the Talmidim said in front of Nachma Yitzchak, this is what you should do, combine them and then cut. Amalei, Mashimcha, what's your name? Amalei, my name is Shalman. Amalei, Azoi Shalman. Shalim Ata, Ushvayim Mishnatcha, Shisam Tisholim, Benat Almidim. Ah, you're a peacemaker, and therefore the name Shalman is so appropriate to you, because for Hashem, you're making Shalim between the Talmidim, between the Funa and the Vyachanan, you're making everybody happy by taking them both together and being right there. Yes, Rabbi Newman, you're both abstraining. You're doing beautiful. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can always give more. There's no issue in giving more. The question shouldn't give less. So, Gemara says if you have a choice between the two, and you have the larger proof, then you have the smaller shleima, which has more chashim to go and give towards your 2%. And you could have other things too. Maybe this is not the only truma he's giving. He's giving other things as well. So, what do you add to get to your 2%? You put in the bukla, you go and put in the larger slice, and that's much more good. Anyway, getting back to just on a lighter note, my father's Chaim Bruch always used to tell the story. It was probably apocryphal, but it's a nice story anyway. That there were two mechutanim. One was Reb Sholem, and the other one was Reb Getzel. Not related to the two Reb Sholem and Reb Getzel over here. Anyway, so Reb Sholem and Reb Getzel, always before Yom Neirom, they would go and send Rosh Hashanah cards to each other, wishing them a Gittur. So Reb Getzel was a Hira Tam Chochem, and Reb Sholem gave an Abyssal Ashvacha Tam Chochem. So Reb Getzel would go and write in his letter, in his note, he would say, Oh, Ata Sholem, V'Shimcha Sholem, Hashem Yevorech Es Amoy V'Sholem, like the Sholma. And then after that, Reb Sholem wasn't such a big Talmud Chacham. He went and mimicked his chaver, and he wrote back, "Ata Getzel, B'Shimcha Getzel, Hashem Yevorech Es Amoy V'Getzel." Anyway, so when I saw the Sholem over here, it reminded me of that story. Okay, anyway, so there's Shalman the Gemach Shulam, therefore it is like. Grad, if you're wondering where the name Shalman comes from, you see that there's an asterisk next to Shalman, which is Gilead Shas, and he says, don't you remember? Look at the end of Megillus Ruth, and you have Salmai. There's with above, and this is without above. But Lamaisa, he says, it says the Rubik Vega, that's perhaps the same name over here, it's Salmai. It's not Shalman, but Salmai. Omer Papa! Oh, this is the famous sin that on Seder night, you have taken away half of the matzah for the afikomen, and the children are stealing it and doing whatever they're doing with it, and you're left now with a half a matzah. But you have to go and make lecha mishnah. So you take the top matzah, you take the middle matzah which is broken, you take the bottom matzah, you take them all together, and you make a bracha on all three at one time, so you have the benefit of using the prusa as well as using also lecha mishnah. Everybody agrees. My timer. So why would you even have the prusa? Just leave the prusa out. Just take the top one and the bottom one. Lechem oinik says, by the fact that the middle one is broken, that shows lechem oinik as shikol anis.
Yeah.
Do you break one, you break both?
He had one half.
One and a half?
No, he's only 2 months.
Yeah,
one and a half. We have 3 months, right?
Right, yeah. Those boys only had two? Okay. So what do you do then?
That's the point you want.
Uh-huh.
You say you have 20, there's a difference.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Omer Rav Abba, who b'Shabbos chayiv odom mutzoy al shtei kikoret. On Shabbos, you have to go and start off with two full kikoret. My time lechem mishnah, shtei lechem mishnah, you have to have two shleim. Omer Rav Ashi, chazina leil Rav Kahana, dinoket tarti ubotzechot. I saw that his meaning was to take taka two, like we do, and he cut open one, like we do. Very simple. Reb Zeira have a botza akula shirusa. Now, what does that mean? Reb Zeira, when he would go and slice up the challah, he would go and slice large pieces for everybody that he was giving slices to, that it would be enough to cover the entire meal. See, look at Rashi before the end, akula shirusa. Prusa gdoila! So when you get large pieces of challah from the person who's distributing the challah, don't say, man, come on, that's pasnish. No, that's the way you're supposed to do it. Large slices. Looks like these people are all gluttons at this large piece of challah. Since throughout the week you'll take much smaller slices. So in the oven and today you're seeing a large slice, when the challah is you're seeing it for Kavod Shabbos, and that you're not doing it because you're such a glutton, but you're doing it because you want to show Shabbos is unique and Shabbos is special. Now, based on the way we just learned this Gemara, Reb Zeira really has nothing to do with Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana took two challahs, and he went and cut up one, and that's fine. And then Reb Zeira went and made big slices. So that's what it sounds like. The Rashba, however, says that Reb Zeira is arguing with Rav Kahana, and he's saying that you should go and cut up both challahs. Don't just cut open Batsa Chaza. Reb Zeira would go and take both challahs, and he would cut both of them, and not just cut up one. After the bracha. But instead of just cutting up one challah of the lechem mishnah, he would cut up both challahs of the lechem mishnah. And the Mishnah Berurah says, based on that Rashba, that was the minig ulta of the Shaluah Kodesh and of the Marshal and the Vilna Goyim. The Vilna Goyim, when he had two challahs on Shabbos, he would go and cut up both of them. Perhaps some briskers do that also. They follow the Goyim. Anyway, of course, the regular minig is just to go and cut up one and not cut up two. If they had a bread that had been used for the mushel eruve chatzeroy, most of us don't have the eruve chatzeroy bread because it's usually a pekel matzah somewhere in the with your neighbor. Even if you have it, you leave it there the whole year until next Pesach or whatever. However, this is much more frequent and you have eruve tashilin. What do you do with the eruve? Most people forget about it and then a week later, oh, what do I do with it? And then they throw it out because it's no good anymore. However, what are you supposed to do with it? Says the Gemara, you take the Eim of Ochan Alei, Amoitzi Mechem and Ari, supposed to make a Moitzi and use it. Amri Hovis, Amri Bein Mitzah Chodah, Amri Bein Mitzah Chritzi. Since you're in one Mitzah, do a second Mitzah. It doesn't say in the Gemara, however, when they ate that Rifted the Eruva, when they make the Hamoitzi. Rashi says, Rifted the Eruva, She'or V'loi Esmoi, Eruva Chatzedis, She'or V'loi Esmoi, Eruva Chatzedis, use it for an Erev. So it sounds like, on Sunday, that's when you make the hamoitzi after Shabbos is over. And the reason why they wouldn't go and eat it on Shabbos is because you need it for the Eir, for the Rufa Chaser. That's the Poshib Shat. All the Mepharshim over the Mepharshim the Gemara is when Ashi says over by Eslam means that the Eir, you didn't make the Eir on Shabbos, you made the Eir on Friday. And therefore they ate the Eir on Shabbos itself. But if you're going to eat the Eir on Shabbos, it's not going to be. So they left some of it over. Just as long as Ben Ashmoshes, you had the full, they had an Eir. Don't eat up the whole thing. As long as you have something, you can go and make a moitzi already on Shabbos. And machloik is what... So Erev Tavshilim is not a problem anymore, because Erev Tavshilim is for the benefit of Erev Shabbos. By the time Shabbos is, you don't need Erev Tavshilim. I cooked whatever I cooked, and it's all done. So at that point, you can go and use it on Shabbos. And anyway, those that hold it, like you're in the Shabbos, the mitzvah chritzi is not that you just make a moitzi, but you use it for the lechem mishnah. Let's just finish off the two dots. Amalat. A person went and made a bracha. And now he wants to go and eat from the slice. Don't make a hefty. Don't be misiach das. But the Lord is going to tell us that there's certain things which are so part and parcel of eating the food that it's not considered to be a hefty. So the marshal, when the person says, Om Rav, Toil Baruch, Ein Yitzarach Levarach. The person who's being boitzeh, he's cutting up the challah. Everybody else is falling asleep. They don't know what's going on. He said, no, Chavit, never. Yanko, take a piece. You take a piece. So that is not considered to be a hefty because you need it as part of the Tzedech HaSeuda. You look at the top Rashi, Tov Baruch, HaBoitzeh Kodim Shetoam Mitzah Pusi. He didn't eat from the pusi yet. But to me, many he cut up. V'hoishet L'misha Etzloi, and he handed over to someone else, and the other guy didn't know what's going on. The Yomulei told me, Pusi Echorot, no, I'm showing. Alva Misha Suffering Time, even though he spoke, Ein Tzarech L'Achol Uvar, the Alva Gav Tzich HaVyah Saka, like we see by Tzilin, Hach Tzicha Tzirech Bracha, V'lei Mitzaka, this Hach Tzicha, the Tzirech Bracha, it's not a Hesim. So therefore, Ein Tzarech L'Achol Uvar. Back to the Gemara. Havi melach, havi litzan. No, zal. That's erech levach. That already would be considered to be a hefsek. However, birchan amar, hafil hevi melach, havi litzan. It's also not meaning erech levach, because you need that also for purposes of your hamoisi. Also not a hefsek, you can say zal. Givil l'turi, givil... Lifton is a relish, like today that would be a dip. No, where's the hummus? Where's it? Where's the tchina? Yeah, okay. Givil l'turi. Givil l'turi means, did you go and give food yet to the shvarim, to my oxen? Tarek levar. You can't do that after you make your bracha. Eat your piece of maizi. So sheish esom, I feel like givil l'turi, nami in the tarek. No, it's not a hefzik. Why is not a hefzik? If you don't umirav. A person should not go and eat before he gives food to his animals. And therefore, if you just made a moiti, listen to the shvurim, but we give for the shvurim, that wouldn't be a hefsek. You can say that even before the eating. We have a minion up.
I have a story from a besser, Chai Karasira, one of his tishin, made moiti on his lechem shalim. He took a cut challah,